Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And to HighSpeedWeb.net, the streams are signal 24/7, 365. Well, the brand spanking new Dean of the Ida Jane Dacus Library and the Louise Pettis Archives is with us today, Katrina Davis Kendrick. I did it right, did I?
Yeah, you did.
You were surprised, aren't you? See? You thought I was going to call you Katrina, but I didn't. I went Katrina because you told me.
I can be a hurricane, but not today.
Not today. And you know, this lady's real clean. What? Whoa, 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 whoa. Let me ask you first. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I want you to know that I'm a Winthrop alumni. I graduated in the early 90s. I applied to Winthrop College, and I graduated from Winthrop University.
How about that?
How about that? Another thing is I worked at the Dacus Library for 3 years as an undergrad, and guess where I worked my fourth year?
Substation 2.
I did. I did. So I have worked in Rock Hill. And very proud of it to be able to come back as the dean of Ida Jane Dacus Library and Pettis Archives.
So you finished at Winthrop.
I finished at Winthrop University.
Then where'd you go? What'd you do?
Say again?
Where'd you go from Winthrop?
From there, I actually went into the workplace. I thought I was going to be a teacher, and I applied to Winthrop's graduate school at the Withers, and I decided to just go ahead and go into the workforce, and I started working in libraries generally. I was an undergraduate working at Pettis and Dacus Library, so I just continued looking for positions there. I ended up moving to Atlanta for a little while, and I finally decided to get my master's degree from the historic Clark Atlanta University about 15 years ago now. And I've been working in academic libraries ever since. I started out at Georgia State University in Metropolitan Atlanta. And then I came to the University of South Carolina system that was my previous institution at the Lancaster campus until I came on board here at Winthrop.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So Rock Hill has changed a little bit since you were last year?
It has. First of all, this is not the substation I remember, but it looks great. But other than that, it's just been a booming, it's been growing, and I'm just really happy to see that it's, you know, a part of, it's just really grown.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm appreciating.
It's a real eye-opener for somebody who hasn't been here for a few years.
Yes.
Just to go down White Street and see all that's happened and is still happening down there is amazing.
It's amazing. I live in Richland County, so I come up through Rock Hill proper, the downtown area,
right.
Just to even see how that's come up and grown since I was here. It's just amazing.
So you get to commute every day.
I get to commute every day.
Ooh. That's going to get old quick, don't you think?
No, I like it. It's a little bit of transition for me. I appreciate the time.
It's amazing to me. There's quite a few people who do exactly what you do,
mm-hmm.
commuting back and forth to Columbia. I mean, I got it. So when we talk about let's take the easy one first. Let's talk about the Dacus Library. For those who have never set foot in the library, how could you describe what's in there? I mean, numbers of volumes, what you offer,
my goodness,
that kind of stuff.
Actually, I can't tell you about the volumes yet because I'm still learning that little bit. But I can tell you that we have great databases. We have great people in the library. That's what I really want to share with you. We have a great workforce in the library who is ready to help you. And we are open and accessible to anyone who comes into the library. We have millions of volumes. We have approaching 200 databases. And that's really important right now when we're considering what's going on with public health emergency and everything like that.
Right.
So we're really open and accessible to making sure people know that we're open, whether or not the library is, the building is there or not, open or not.
So, what? I mean, give me the parameters when you say it's open to the public. Can I just walk over there after the show and walk in?
So, right now, we're at phase two of a reopen. So, our services are a little bit limited in terms of what we're able to provide in terms of public safety. So, right now, we're open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And our online chat service is open from 1 p.m. to 7. So, you can always get access to and have your questions answered online.
Right.
If you have a student ID or faculty or staff ID, you're welcome to come in and swipe, and you're able to come in that way. For those who are not Winthrop affiliates, you'll be able to apply for a card or a research pass, and then you'll have access to the building that way. Right now, our main floor is open. We're restricting to the main floor right now just to keep the books from circulating or being used in tandem, so all the hands aren't touching, unfortunately.
Kind of defeats the purpose of the library, doesn't it?
Not really. I mean, we have a user pickup, so people can request items, and we'll have them ready for them at the door at the vestibule.
Okay.
So there's a user pickup service available, and people do have access to the books that way. We're accessible, even if the doors aren't necessarily open in the way that you traditionally think of a library.
So how does a university library, like at Winthrop, differ from, let's say, our public library here in York County?
So we have different subscriptions or databases that might be different. So in a public library, most people are familiar with DISCUS, which is the public library access, the suite of databases that any person who has access to a public library has. We have more subscription databases that are proprietary to just the Winthrop campus. So that's one way. We also have a different sort of collection. We're here to provide books and resources that provide services and support to our degree programs, whereas perhaps a public library would be more like popular reading, the things you think about, things for traditional ideas of family, story times, and things like that. That's another way we differ as well.
So I'm not going to find a copy of Pat Conroy's whatever.
Popular reading section, but generally it might not be available. Like the whole suite of Pat Conroy might not be available.
Right. You're more into, as you say, the academic side,
right,
to support the degree programs at Winthrop University
and our
has.
And the research interests that our professors and our faculty and staff have to do.
And when you talk about subscriptions, I don't understand what that means. Do you have the Wall Street Journal over there? And
correct that. I mean it in the traditional way that you think of when we purchase something to have access to it for a limited amount of time.
Okay.
And every year you renew those subscriptions so you can continue to have access to it. So we do that with our databases as well. And so even the public libraries have certain subscriptions that they have. We just generally, academic libraries will have a larger suite because of the larger amount of programs and the differentiation there.
So are your subscriptions the good old hard copy newspaper, or are they digital subscriptions?
Some of them. Sometimes we have access to both digital and print in some cases.
Really?
Yes.
I would imagine that the old kind, the old-fashioned paper kind, would be going bye-bye.
We still get print newspapers in the morning, so you can come pick those, use those.
And you keep
we'll keep the old ones for a limited amount of time because of limited stacks and things like that. But in some places, we do have both print and digital subscriptions as they come through, and we negotiate those per vendor.
All right. But your subscription database is a lot deeper, let's say, than what we might find wherever.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, much deeper. And then they might be connected differently, say, that in a public library.
So for somebody who is into science, my guess is I could find science publications over at Dacus Library.
Yes.
I doubt if I'd find them in the public library.
You may or may not. It depends on which public library you go to and where they offer access. But generally, we will have deeper and broader.
So do you work with the various schools over at Winthrop University to find out what it is they're doing so that you know what the heck to have in the library?
Oh, yes. That's part of our collection development policy, in that we have library liaisons whom we work with at each college to find out what they need, what they hope to have, and where we can meet that need and those requests and fulfill them. So every college has a library liaison that works with our acquisitions librarian.
Now, since it's been a few years since I was in higher education, they have now this thing called the Internet, which they never had when I was in college. Whoa, the Internet. I guess what I'm getting to is this. Do students still use a library today the way they did when I was in school.
Well, how did you use it when you were?
We were there all the time.
Trying
to get information.
Well, yes, in that instance, yes, they do use it all the time, and they're there all the time. And one of my goals as I move forward at Dacus Library and Pettus Archives is to make sure that students know that this is a community center in their space. Their space to be there. We're just here to manage it. We're just here to make sure they have the resources that they need. We're here to be seen as a place where they can come and not do anything for a while if they want to. It really, to me, I see it as a place for community.
We used to go to the library just for a quiet place.
Yes.
Because the dorms were just out of control all the time. I don't think that's changed much, has it?
No, it hasn't. In fact, at my previous institution, I had a quiet zone. So I would have a quiet zone because people do need that space to not have anything going on. And I had places for people who wanted a little bit going on. And I had places for people who wanted a lot going on. So we have those places delineated. And we'll be working on that as well at the Dacus Library.
So when you take a look at the actual physical thing called Dacus Library, I remember your predecessor, we used to talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an aging facility that is always in need of some type of repair.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I think this is right. There was an issue years ago with, moisture? Mm-hmm. Moisture in the building, and they spent a whole bunch of money fixing that all up, and I got it all fixed up, I think, and got things restored the way they are. And I know this is early on because you haven't been there a long time.
I have not.
But my guess is you're going to be taking a piece of paper and saying, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done.
Yes.
Have you found any things yet?
Oh, there's always issues with concerns I have about keeping the collection. What we need to do with the collections, how the collection is being used, if we can repurpose space. That's my goal is what space can we use to repurpose for different seating areas and how that might affect how the collections are managed.
Right.
So that's kind of where I am right now. What spaces are being used? What spaces are being underutilized? Why is that? And how can we renegotiate our collections so that happens?
Do you ever go through the library and just say, you know what? Why do we even have this anymore? This will be nobody's doing this anymore.
Well, actually, my actual question is more kaleidoscopic, like how can this space be used in different ways rather than what we feel is useful or not useful.
Right.
There are things that are useful, and I think that everything in print that we have is useful. It's a matter of how can we make sure that access remains there, even if it's not in the main collection where people perceive it. Oh, it's not useful if it's not in the stacks where everyone can get to it. My goal is to make sure that we can figure out a way that it's accessible, whether or not it's in the main collection, and how we can repurpose space and be more kaleidoscopic about how things are being used and what the students want to happen in the space and the faculty. And
you like keep referencing what the students want. Do you actually sit down with, do you intend to have, sit downs with student groups and say, what do you like? What don't you like?
Oh, yes. I intend to speak with every stakeholder that uses the library, which I perceive to be everybody on the campus and people off campus as well.
So you're like a politician then?
I'm a community builder.
That's a good response. Never a politician, a community builder. That's safe. That's good.
Great libraries build communities, and Dacus Library is a great library.
Well, if you haven't been in there, I know one of the things that you do from time to time is you do exhibits over there. And I don't know how those come about or who decides how they're done. Can you give me any insight into that?
Well, what I've just learned is that we have an exhibits committee and a display committee at Dacus Library, and they work together even with our Pettus Archives colleagues to make displays that are reflective of the community that we want to be in, the community that we are, and the community that we have been in. So that's what they do right now. And so I'm hoping that we'll get a plan together to create dynamic and interactive exhibits as we move forward.
I tell you what, it's a good library is just wonderful.
Thank you.
It is just wonderful. Even in the electronic age, which we're in right now.
Yes.
I always remember the conversations I've had with your peers in the public library system. Public libraries are being used more now than ever before.
Ever before.
For
correct.
All kinds of stuff.
Yes.
I mean, beyond just let's pull a good book out and read it.
Correct.
They're in there doing all kinds of, job applications here and research with the computer systems that are offered.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to technology, how are we at the Dacus Library?
What do you mean? Tell me a little bit more.
Well, let's say a student. I can't imagine in today's world, but let's say there's a student that doesn't have a laptop to drag around with them. They can come over and just jump on yours?
They can. The student also has access to laptops. We have laptop accessibility. And that really came through when the pandemic started early this year. People were able to get those laptops and have access in their homes throughout the rest of the semester last year. and they have access to the computers on campus as well.
So, I mean, they would check out a
they were able to check out a laptop.
Yes, a laptop? Wow, isn't that nice?
That's very nice and very appropriate. I think that's a very appropriate use.
Well, we're going to have an interesting school year here. I can't remember how it all works. There's so many of them, but your students are coming back here shortly.
Yes.
And they'll be here through Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And then it's bye-bye for, I don't know how much longer, but a long period of time.
Yeah, that's the plan right now, is that we'll end the semester right after Thanksgiving, so to make sure they stay home during, and then when we come back until we come back for classes in the spring.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Katrina, we do something really wonderful here at Substation 2 that you should
don't
really
ask
know
me
about.
To sing.
No, I should sing. We do fresh. We do fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, right before your eyes. You used to make them.
I did.
And the key slogan is right there in the white letters. We all say it together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
My concern is, let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Cruise to financial freedom with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. With our low rates, there is no better time to apply. Get a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days by applying for your auto loan early, so you know what to look for before you start shopping. You can also use our auto loan calculator and Founders Online to set your budget and plan ahead. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for a membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Katrina Davis Kendrick, the new dean of the Ida Jane Dawkus Library and the Louise Pettis Archives, is with us today. She is fresh to Rock Hill, although she graduated from Winthrop University. She's been at Georgia. She's been down at Columbia. She's been, all that stuff. Was it USCL before the call came?
The call came.
She saw the notice and she applied, and she's here.
I'm here.
Aha!
I'm so thankful.
Good for you. And she lives, you actually live in Richland County.
I live in Richland County.
Are you north of Columbia or south of Columbia? You're north of
Columbia.
Well, that's better.
I'm the last outpost before I get to Rock Hill.
Good for you. All right, so we talked about half your responsibilities, which is the Dawkus Library.
Yes.
Talk to us about the Pettis Archives.
So Gina White is our director there, and she's amazing at getting things accessioned. And so I've been working with her to learn a little bit more, because I have been a librarian for most of my career, and that means my archival knowledge is growing, and that she'll be helping me grow that knowledge.
So for those who don't even know it, this used to be, what was in there? I can't even remember what was in that store before. It was a bookstore.
It was a bookstore. It was the Bookworm.
Yeah. Bookworm. That's what
it was when I was here.
And the university acquired it and spent a small fortune setting it up so it could have all the temperature controls and what have you. So old stuff would be here 100 years from
Amazing
now.
Living stuff.
Amazing living stuff is over
great
there.
Great artifacts.
Yeah. All right.
She has some great things there. If you ever get a chance to go down there, make sure you ask her about the trunk and the things that are in the trunks.
In the trunks?
Mm-hmm.
Like the old steamer trunks?
The old steamer trunks. Make sure you ask her what's in the trunks in the archives.
Oh, tell us what's in one of them.
No, you have to go and see.
Oh, come on now.
Well, you might see some letters from people in the veterans, our veterans, from, military excursions and theaters.
Right.
You might see some costuming from our folks and see what happens, what people packed when they were coming on campus, how to prepare for their own first semester. So this is particularly interesting. You know, we were coming in and bringing in our new students this semester.
Wow.
So just ask her to see what's in the...
Well, I hope they're doing something. I mean, this is the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II.
Yeah.
You know, August, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Be sure you ask her what's in the trunks now.
Okay. So will you be doing anything over at the Dacus Library for this?
Oh, I don't know. We're still working again when we talk about what's happening with the programs and everything. We're hoping that we'll do some virtual events or in-person events if we can do those safely. So right now, that's what we're thinking about. I've been asking her what she wants to do.
So the people who would use the Pettus Archives are people who are doing what?
Any sort of research about the Rock Hill area, Winthrop University, the region to a certain degree. If you have some genealogical questions, we have some records there for you. So if you're doing any sort of research about your family and you're from this area, from this Tri-County area, there may be something in there for you.
So are most of these users of the Pettus Library, Pettus Archives, are they, I don't know, scholars, or are they just John Q. public?
There's scholars, but we also get a lot of those. Are our best users are the John Q. public, because they're the ones who are going to carry the legacy of what those records mean to them and give meaning to those records and archives. But other than that, we have our own faculty submit things to the archives. We have classes that come into there from. We have a course that talks about the history of Winthrop that comes and use those archives. And we are training people who are interested in archives, archival work, to be able to work in an archive as well.
So the freshman class is going to pop in here in a matter of a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Do you get a chance to get in front of them and say, hey, you need to know what's at the Dacus Library and was at the Pettus Archives?
Well, I'm angling for an opportunity to get in front of them to tell them what's up there.
Who do I need to talk to for you?
I've already talked with our director of admissions, so we're on the campus tour. That's very great. That's good for us. And my goal is to be a part of orientation, to be a part of undergraduate research and scholarship, so they know that that you don't just use the library when you're a freshman or just when you're a senior or just when you get into your courses. We have a space for you when you first come on campus, and there's a space for you to engage with us when you're about to graduate from campus too, graduate from Winthrop University. So there's going to be lots of areas of access and opportunity for us to engage with the students.
Because you know, students that come to Winthrop or any other college or university for that matter, a lot of these kids, you know, they just don't come from the kind of school systems we're fortunate to have here in York County.
Mm-hmm.
So getting them exposed to something like this, I would imagine, would take a little bit of hand-holding.
It's a little bit. Now, they do have, I think they... Students still have an understanding of what a library is because of the public library. The public library is still, like we talked about earlier, students know what the public library is and what it can do for them when they're in high school. And they have media centers at their high schools and things like that.
Right.
So they have an understanding. The key is letting them know how it works for them at the college level. You know, there's not as much hand-holding there's actually not as much hand-holding a little bit outside of, you know, these are the resources that you have. We're here to help you manage the resources. We're here to help you understand how to evaluate the resources. And we know that people who use the library generally get, on average, a one-letter grade improvement over those who do not use the library.
Say that again.
I said it. It's true. The library, the Association of College and Research Libraries, there's a market value of having an academic library be involved. And students who use the library, even if they don't engage with quote-unquote people in the library, their grades will improve at least one-letter grade.
Boy, I wish I had known that. I could have used that help. That's great. All right. So you get a chance. Let's just say that you're going to get that chance.
I'm going to get it.
That's I like that attitude. Way to go, Katrina. So you're going to get that chance to stand up before America's future.
Mm-hmm.
That is coming into Winthrop University. They don't know nothing about nothing. What are you going to say to them?
I want to welcome them to the campus. First of all, let them know that the library is their space. This is the space that is for them. It is a student center. It is just as important as the cafeteria, as the sorority and fraternities that you think you might want to join, or any other community that you think you might want to join in terms of place and people that you're going to meet in the library. You need to know that at Dacus Library, we're open. The fall hours will be about 12 hours a day. You have access to computers. You have access to technology. You have access to people who are invested in making sure you succeed, whatever that means for you as you come from Winthrop University.
Yeah, I think one thing I would probably add to that is don't be afraid to ask.
Do not be afraid to ask. We answer questions that you are never bothering us. We enjoy answering questions. We have chat online for that purpose. You can have book a librarian for that purpose for your research consultations. If you bump into us on the way to and from a class, say hello. We'll answer a question on the fly. Wherever you need, you can call us, email us. We're here for you.
Well, I would imagine, with that being said, that a young freshman coming on a campus, which is overwhelmed with what all this is, because mom and dad aren't here, and I'm just whoop, all of a sudden on my own, which is what college is all about.
Yes.
Teach you to, think for yourself. I would imagine that they could come to you or to one of your staff members and say, look, I have this project on X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the slightest idea how to get started with this and get the information that I need. Mm-hmm. I've done some stuff online, but that's not getting me the right whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to sit down with them and say, okay, let's dissect this and see how we can help you out.
That's right. That's the purpose of a book a librarian research consultation and or any sort of interaction that you have with us. Our goal is to help you manage information. So locate information, manage it, evaluate it so you can use it precisely for what you need it to be in your life. And in this case, that means student life.
Well, the bottom line is the information is here.
The information is
here. Or we can find it if it's not here.
If I can't find it, guess what? I have a bevy of librarian colleagues that can help me find it.
Yeah.
I use it to my full advantage.
Well, and you also, if I remember correctly, your library is somehow interconnected with other university libraries?
Correct. We are part of the Pascal system. So you not only have access to our items, but you have access to over 50 items from Benedict College, from the University of South Carolina system, all of their campuses, from Clemson University, Presbyterian College, Wofford College, York Tech. So, and you have access to those collections. So think about all of that. Over 12 million ebooks just that PASCO provides for every member of PASCAL.
So don't tell us.
We
can find it.
And we also have interlibrary loan service as well. So whatever we can't find in that system, we will go out and ask other libraries in California, a public library in California or wherever, hey, do you have this item? Can you send it to us, please? They often say yes.
Yeah, that's something. Wow. So you can check out a book from California right here at Winthrop University.
Correct.
That's cool. All right, so you've got... You're what, 2 weeks into this job or a month?
3 weeks. It'll be a month, and on the first, it'll be a month.
So all right, we're going to have 30 days. Yeah, 30 seconds. Here's what we're going to do. All of a sudden, you get a call from, what's his name, Dr. Hine.
Okay.
And he says, come on over here, Katrina.
Okay.
I just want to know what your first impressions are about what we need to do to help this library out. And you're going to say what?
I want more people. People make libraries run. Make libraries run.
Sure.
And so for us to manage all the information that is exponential in nature, that grows exponentially every day, it would be great if we had more people to help us run the library so everyone gets more equitably what they want and need to finish up their research, scholarship, teaching, learning.
Well, I think the university made a good hire here. I like your personality. You're bright and cheery and got a great smile.
I'm really excited about what I'm going to be able to do at Dacus. Thank you so much.
Her name is Katrina Davis Kendrick, and she is a brand new librarian here at Winthrop University. I hope you will take advantage and stop by and see her. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Well, we're going to see if Kate Trina can get this right now. We also have Judy Longshaw, who is going to take that mask off and jump in on this saying, Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. There's only one way to do it. That's the Substation 2 way. We're going to say it together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.